We're so excited that you're with us online. If you're here with us for the very first time, a special welcome to you. My name is John, one of the pastors on staff. If you've been with us for a while, I want to extend a warm thank you to you for sticking with us through this very challenging season of life, and we're so grateful to you and for you. Know that even though our streaming ministry has had its share of ups and downs, I'm so grateful for all the volunteers who have helped make that streaming ministry happen. We've been learning along the way. We feel great about the corners that we've been able to turn. And I'm really excited because I am 99% sure that next Sunday will be our first Sunday back in person for worship. And so I want to encourage you to stay tuned. Check out the website midway through the week and your e-news, your email, because we'll kind of confirm that decision. But we're almost positive that we'll be back in worship next Sunday. So we're so excited to be able to see you again. So when I was a freshman in college, I've told you this story before, I finally figured out what I was going to do with my life. I finally accepted the fact that I was going to be a stockbroker. Now, I didn't know what a stockbroker actually did from day to day, but that really didn't matter because I had just finished watching the movie Wall Street, and I was convinced that I was supposed to be Gordon Gekko, the character from Wall Street. Why? Well, because he was powerful, and he had all this wealth, and he had everything that I wanted. I thought, now that's who I want to be when I grow up, and then I took my first finance class, and I thought, well, maybe something else I should do. But, how would you have answered that question when you were young? What do you want to be when you grow up? How many of you as adults are still asking that question, what do you want to be when you grow up? As we start this series, I want to talk to those of you who are carrying around this voice, this burden, maybe it's just the way you're wired where you're asking this question, what am I supposed to be doing with my life? For those of you who know that you've been created uniquely by God to do something special, to do something unique, to do something significant, only the problem is you don't know what it is, or maybe you think you know what it is, but you're not sure if it's your thing or God's thing, and how do you navigate between all of that? You're not sure. This is why we're having our series, starting this series, because it's so, so important for you to understand that what Scripture speaks is true, and our conviction is this, that you indeed have been created uniquely by God for God's glory to make a difference in this world. In fact, the Apostle Paul was very direct about this. He said in Ephesians, he told us, therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you, I plead you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called. Paul spoke to the early church and to the church today, to you and me, and said, look, I plead with you to live a life worthy of your call. That is, you only have one life, and you have a call, and it's an important life. And that's so important, in part because here's what's true for all of us, and this is part of the problem. Here's what's true of all of us. We know that no matter how much success we have in this world, no matter how much we obtain this in this world, we're just not satisfied with success. We have a longing for more. We have a longing for something that's something significant to do with our lives. The problem is if we don't ever discover what that is, we will go through life with a feeling of sense of doing it only in reaction to life and not on purpose. So this is a super important series that we're starting. And it's called Reclaim Your Call. And today, so the question is, and the title of the talk today is God calling me? Is God calling you? And I'll go ahead and answer that. Yes, God is calling you. And you might wonder, well, Pastor, what are you talking about? What does that even mean? Is my call my career? Is my call what I'm supposed to be doing in school? Is it something that else? Is it my hopes? Is it my dream? It's a fair question, Pastor. What do we mean by being called by God anyway? Now, what's interesting is this word call in the Greek is kaleo, and it is used in a number of different Greek words. For example, kaleo is used as a base word in paraclete, which means comforter, which is a picture of the Holy Spirit. It's also used in the word ekklesia. You've heard that word. That means church, or literally that means called out. We can make the mistake of church being called into a building, but as a church, the ekklesia, the real meaning of that is that we're called out into the world. So you, too, have been called. Now, if you own this, if you believe this is true, if you really do believe that you've been set apart by God, chosen by God, gifted by God, and called to make a difference, well, then that puts a little different weight on your day-to-day activities, doesn't it? And so it kind of leads us to this question, but what if I've missed my calling? Pastor, what if I've missed it? Because I remember I majored in something in college. I don't even remember now what it is. And it led me to that direction with my job. And I had to move there. And I met these people. And that project didn't work out. And now I'm back. And now I'm doing this thing. I'm not sure I'm really in a good place with it. It all seems very reactionary. My fear is I've already missed my call. Maybe I've missed my call. That is, if I am called by God, what am I called to do? It's got to be something big, right? It's got to be something important, right? Well, what's interesting, Jesus' baptism gives us a clue to answer that. The day Jesus is baptized, he comes up out of the water, and God says, well, here's what God doesn't say. God doesn't say, this is my ambassador. This is my messenger. This is my Messiah. God doesn't say that at all. God says, this is my son. So the call that Jesus received in his baptism was to be called to be a who, not necessarily to be called to a do. And so that's true for you as well. That calling is about who you are before what you do. Calling is about who you are before what you do. That when God calls you, he's calling you to a who before a do. And I love this from Paul when he gets more specific about this. He says in 2 Timothy, God who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to our own purpose and grace. This grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. That God called you and me to live a holy life. So in other words, a calling is as much about becoming something than it is about doing something. You're called to be holy. The word holy, hagios, means to set apart. It means to be different. It means that as you follow Jesus, you don't look like the world. You don't act like the world. You're not driven by the things that other people in this world are driven by because you've been set apart by God. You've been called by Jesus. You've been infused with the power of the Holy Spirit to live a holy life. You think to yourself, well, I'm not so holy. But God doesn't give up on you. God gives you the grace and the power in this message, Paul says, so that he begins to work and continues to work on you from the inside out. So when you look at Scripture, it's interesting. There is nothing about calling as it relates to, say, your career. There's nothing about calling as it relates to something so much that you do as much as it's a calling to be like Jesus. It's a who before a do. And so when you recognize that you're called by God, a better question than starting with what am I supposed to be doing, the better question is, who am I called to become? Who is it that God wants me to become? Because if calling is only about a do, it gets very confusing because there are so many different expressions of the one call God has for your life. So, for example, maybe you're really successful in one aspect of your life. Maybe you're incredibly successful in your work, but you mistreat your coworkers. Well, then you're not really fulfilling your call. I mean, maybe you've obtained a lot and you have all types of wealth and you've been super successful in that area, but if somehow you're mistreating or abusing your children of some way, then you're not really fulfilling your call. See, who you are is way, way, way more important to God than what you do. Because calling isn't about something important that you do in the future. Calling is about your faithfulness to Jesus today. It's about who you are today, not about just what you do in the future. Paul says it this way: whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever you do, do it unto the Lord. Calling isn't just about a specific unique do for you. It starts with a who. You are called to be holy. You're set apart for God. That whatever you do for God. So, you want to find your calling? What am I created to do? Start with the who. Start by waking up every day with the promise to God, God, look, today I'm going to surrender my will for your will. I'm going to try to love the way you have loved me. I'm going to try to live generously just as you have been generous to me. I'm going to die to myself to make you known. I'm going to make your purpose my purpose. See, when there's less of you and more of him, when it's not about all about you, when it's not all about your status, when it's not all about you trying to convince everybody of your way, when it's not all about you and it becomes about the one who was baptized for you and died for you and was raised for you so that you might have this power of the Holy Spirit to work inside of you, to wash away the sins and to begin to change you from the inside out, that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is for you, then with everything you do for the glory of God, then you don't have to find your calling. Listen, your calling will find you. It just overtakes you. Even something seemingly so small and inconsequential has the power and the potential when it's for the one who gave his life for you. So what are you called to? You are called to a who before a do. You are called to become like Jesus. You're set apart. So maybe you wake up in the morning and you recognize that there's someone who is in need and you're called to help meet that need. Maybe you wake up in the morning and somebody who is hurting means that like Christ, you are called to stop and pause and listen. Maybe for you, you wake up in the morning and you're called to love a spouse that is difficult to love. Or maybe you're called to pray for a child who runs from God. Or you might be called by God to confess some kind of sin in your life to somebody because it's just been debilitating to you for whatever reason. But the Holy Spirit can change you. You might have a lot of education. You might be familiar with being a professional. But you might be called to love those kids at home right now, the way Jesus loves. You might be called to build a business. You might say, well, is that right? Is that spiritual? Of course it's spiritual. Jesus was so excited when somebody multiplied their talents by five. You might be called to build a business and might take a risk, but build it in such a way with integrity and with faith and with trust that God is going to see you through. If you're honoring God in whatever you do, that's what you're called to do. It starts with a who. And I confess, I'm probably a lot like you, but I want to be called to something big. I want to be called to something big and profound. But hear these words. Remember, this is not what God is going to say to you at the end of your days is not well done, good and wealthy servant, right? God's not going to look at you and say, well done, good and important servant. No, God is going to look at you and say, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been called by God. You have. Don't give up on it. You have been set apart. You have been chosen. Our Heavenly Father gave his Son so that he might die for you, so that you might know God and be intimate with him, so that you could follow and do everything in your life for him and for his purpose. So, to get us started on this, here's what I want you to do. Because it can be so confusing. I'm going to give you three steps. I rarely give steps. I'll give you three steps. In fact, we have set something up special for you to be able to follow this. So this is these are steps that we have put on our website so you can refer back to it. But here's what I want you to do, and you can engage you can use the word engage and you can text it, and it'll take you right to this web page, or you can go to our web page and you can see this page. It's three steps. The first one is make a plan. If you're ready, then God is calling you and me to put God first in our life. So we want you to make a plan. How do you make a plan? Where you make a decision to invite God into your finances and you steward, make a promise and a prayer to God. God, I want to give back to you a percentage of my giving. And in doing so, what will happen is I don't want to be owned by my stuff. I don't want to be owned by my kingdom. I want it to be about your kingdom. So I'm going to make a plan and I'm going to give this year a certain percentage of my income. I'm not just going to dig in my pocket randomly. I'm going to give a percentage right up front, right off the top. And I'm going to try to make it more so than last year. And in doing so, the promise is God's going to get involved and take care of you in a way through your finances that's going to be shocking to you. But it also signals to God that you're ready. Make a plan. Number two, connect with others. This is not a solo event. We've been out there on our own for a while. You need to have people around you in a setting where faith is discussed. So we're going to have you connect with others. That's step number two. Follow that link. And then step number three is discover your call. You actually have to be able to write what it is that your call is down somewhere. And so we're going to give you some content, maybe a workshop for you to go through so that you can articulate your call in writing. And so we want you to contact Devaney to help you with that process. So make a plan, connect with others, discover your call. We want everybody to to follow those steps. Paul said, I beg you, lead a life worthy of your call. If this past year has been rough on you, and it's been rough on everybody, and if you sense when everybody gets back together, it's going to be different, well, you need to be intentional about that. That, I believe, is God speaking to you, nudging you with His Spirit to reclaim your call. So go ahead, reclaim your call. At the end of our days, we're not going to stand before God and worry about what anybody else thinks. We're simply going to stand before God and we're going to offer our life to Him. And God's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Let's pray. Gracious God, You're a blessing. In this season of life, in this turmoil that we're experiencing, Lord, we have one place to go. And that's You. Thank You for not giving up on us. Thank You for Your patience. Thank You for Your willingness to work things out. We're going to reclaim our call found in our baptism, and we're going to follow these steps so that we might walk step by step with You day by day, so that we can look back at the end of our time and say, I did everything that I could to run the race. We pray this in Your name. Amen.